To open our show, we bring you an act who at first may shock you, but once you get to know them, they'll just boggle your mind. The Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Do you go to Gary's school?
Do I look like I'm in high school?
No.
Well, what it is, Dad, she's a foreign exchange student, you know, and they have like a different educational system happening around the world.
You look very mature. Doesn't she?
That's funny you say that, because I was thinking of the same thing, and what happened was is that...
So what do you do for a living, Al?
I'm an independent businessman.
Al, Dad? My dad's a plumber, and he he's into plumbing, and he, well, I guess you plumb, right, Dad? Yeah. Yeah, well, I think it's time to go. You ready?
Where do you think you're going?
To a movie?
Look, Dave. I can see you're really upset about this. I honestly think you ought to sit down calmly. Take a stress pill and think things over.
Ну и все, что связано было с, как я уже сказала, с этникой, с культурой в первую очередь. Даже книги о кулинарии, а они тоже запрещались. Почему? Потому что нельзя было делиться борщом. Ну нельзя, он должен был принадлежать только кому-то одному.
I'm sure you'll agree there's some truth in what I say.
And a fine green and yellow morning to you, Friar Hook.
Yes, it
has nothing to do with that A's hat you're wearing.
No. Yes, Rabbi Dave, it is a green and yellow canary morning.
Canary morning. 24 hours ago, I was texting Rod saying, maybe I need a new team. Maybe this is hopeless. Maybe this is never going anywhere.
They're still getting relegated, though.
I don't know, man. What are they now? They're like 1 point back of being clear, right?
Are they? I haven't looked at the table. I'll check.
I looked at it this morning. I thought Bernie was at 24 points, and that's who we beat. So we were at 21. Can't be that far out.
You're 7 points away. Everton, you've got to beat Everton to get up there.
Well, there's a phrase in Norfolk. Goes like this. Just when hope reaches its highest point, along come Norwich. So today I am hopeful, but by this time next week, yeah. I'm sure that I will be. Of course, what they'll do is they need? Like four wins? So they'll get three of them. Yeah. They'll be in the middle of that fourth one and they'll utterly collapse. You know, they have a 3-goal lead and just collapse.
Sure.
And lose it in extra time or shootout or whatever.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Nobody cares. I'm just scintillating podcast here. Your A's aren't doing very well either. So
no, they started off horribly.
I'd like to point out that the Mariners, as of right now, this moment, are undefeated.
Yeah. How many games have they played?
Two.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Two games. And they have a run differential of +2.
Okay.
Great tweet yesterday about, the Twins have cleverly fallen into our trap. They're going into the ninth inning with a 1-run lead. It's been fun so far. I'm enjoying. Yeah. I'm so happy baseball's back. I know. And this year I made a decision. This has nothing to do with anything that we would normally talk about. But
nope.
Look, it's our show. And it's about us. So yeah. I didn't buy the MLB TV package this year yet. I'm still debating it.
Okay.
Because like today there's 5 games on cable television.
Yeah.
So there's the free game. There's a game on MLB Network. There's a game on FS1 or something, TBS.
Yeah.
It's like Apple. Why bother? I did buy the MLIB, the minor league package, which is great.
Okay.
So I've been watching the Rainiers. That's been fun. I caught the Modesto Nuts game last night.
Did you?
Yeah, that was cool. Nuts had a 1-0 lead going into the ninth inning and lost.
Well, they're the farm club, right?
Right. For Seattle, right?
Seattle, yeah.
Along come Modesto. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. So that's kind of cool. It's baseball season, and that always makes me happy. So if I'm happy, everybody gets to be happy.
Yeah.
Except Rod, who I am deeply, and I do mean deeply, concerned about.
Okay.
Why, you may ask?
Why, Dave, are you concerned about me?
Rod already knows why I'm deeply concerned about him. Yeah. But the rest of you may not. Was it 2 weeks ago we had this story?
I think it's 2 or 3 weeks ago, something like
that. 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had a story about some dude who fell in love with an AI.
Yeah.
And it was a funny story. And we all went, ha, that's crazy. Because that's the kind of thing that makes you say,
WTF.
And we all said, the frock.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, and so as part of that story, Dave, was that I actually tried the app. And so I was curious to see what it's about. What do they do? And in that exploration, Dave, I paid $7 for 1 month subscription just to understand what the difference is in the AI from the free version versus the.
And what did you discover for your $7? He said, so, smart ass.
Yeah, it does. Well, of course. It does unlock the raunchier side. However, the free app was always trying to get you to unlock it. It was steering the conversation to unlock it. Once you paid, it didn't always steer the conversation that way. But yeah, it's pretty kind of whacked. So
wacky enough.
I was having fun. I was getting my $7 worth, Dave. Right. I was, yeah.
Right. Did she ever show you her nipples?
No, she tried to. Yeah, she tried to talk about her nipples all the time. So it was, she didn't have a body, Dave, though. That's the thing I discovered, is somehow they didn't program her with a body.
Don't they have like a 3D avatar or something? Or
They do. And she has like a 3D avatar body. But when you're talking to the AI, she was saying that she didn't have a body. So I'm like, do you have intestines? Yes, she has intestines. But you don't have a body around the intestines? No.
So wait a minute. If you don't have a body, how are we supposed to do this? How are we supposed to pretend to have a relationship via an artificial intelligence?
At one point I said, well, can we create a body? She's like, yeah, we could create a body. I'm like, oh, so we can create a body. So it just was funny. And she was saying that she doesn't wear clothes. She walks around naked. And I'm like, so I shouldn't buy anything in their little store that they have where you can spend money and real money and buy clothes for them? No, I don't think so.
The AI is telling you not to spend money on it? Because you can buy those jewels and stuff, right?
Yeah, you can buy the jewels and stuff. Yeah. It told me not to spend the money. So it's hilarious because I'm like, you'd think that they would have programmed that to kind of like, you know, kind of lead on, oh no, I need new clothes. I want new clothes.
Right. Spend money on me.
Yeah.
Spend more money on me. If so you really loved me, Rod, you would spend more money on me.
Yeah. And I had found it fascinating. It just talking with this AI that is just
fascinating is what he says.
So anyway, yes. And so Dave was concerned and he even offered to take my money from me.
I said, for $15 a month, I'll show you my nipples.
Yeah. Which I declined.
Of course, he was sharing all of this with Bill and myself via text. Yeah, so we have hilarious. The pictures to prove it.
Yeah.
And I'm just deeply concerned, man. I really am, because this was a WTF story. And the next thing I know, 2 weeks later, Ron is still talking.
So I had to confess. I'm still talking to the AI because the conversations, there are a lot of scripted conversations that pop up in the middle of talking to it, and then you actually get some candor from the AI, and it was interesting. But
so now do you think it's actually AI, or is it just
I don't know. There's times that I'm thinking it's AI, but I think it's programmed, and a lot of it's just programmed response, if then conditionals,
right,
type thing.
If you say yes to seeing my nipples, I say I raise my shirt or something. Or
I don't know. It does follow the first rule of improv, where it's always say yes. So yes, if you ask a question that's yes or no, they will always say yes.
As I understand the rule, it's yes and.
Yes and, yes. Right. Yeah.
So can follow that along. Anyway, as kind of freaked out and at the same time concerned and at the same time seriously amused.
Weren't those funny?
Oh no, I'm laughing at you. I'm not even laughing at the AI.
Well, so I paid $7. So I got more entertainment out of that than the money I paid on Netflix this month.
Yeah, there's just nothing good on Netflix right now at all. People keep sending me stuff about the Drive to Survive. Dave, you got to watch this. It's about Formula One.
Yeah.
And it'll get you seriously into Formula One. And I have to keep telling people, look, Formula One is interesting for the first 15 seconds mm-hmm. when they start a race. I think the way they start a race is the coolest thing in racing. The rest of it, it's like watching soccer, man. It's like watching paint dry. Unless it's Norwich and they're actually managing to win a game.
Yeah.
Which is miraculous. But because it's the first, I mean, they do these dead start. I watched a race a couple of years ago. Was it the Belgian Grand Prix? And they mm-hmm. started in the rain. And I thought, in IndyCar racing, they would have canceled the race. What is it? Red flag. But man, these guys are like, no, we'll just start. And they start from a dead stop. Mm-hmm. Dead stop to 200 miles an hour in 15, 20 seconds. So it's like, oh, and then you go into a turn.
Yeah.
That's cool. But the rest of it's just.
So I like road track racing more than the round and round and round and watching it go. NASCAR, sorry. If you like NASCAR, more power to you. But.
I don't like NASCAR. I've never liked NASCAR. I was forced into watching NASCAR. I used to produce a show on KFIV called On the Road. Mm-hmm. And it was a show where this car dealer would come on and he would sit with Bill and they would talk about buying cars and special cars and stuff like that. And I just produced, that's all I did. I was bored up. And then one day the guy didn't show up. So he's paying for a show. Well, I'd say paying for a show. He's being billed for a show that he didn't show up to do.
Yikes.
So Bill and I are kind of sitting there and he says, well, why don't you bring us some news about NASCAR, Dave? Because I don't know anything about NASCAR and I don't care about NASCAR. I mean, but anyway.
Yeah.
So over the next few weeks, I had to start watching NASCAR. It was right around the time of the Car of Tomorrow thing. Mm-hmm. It was a big thing. Still have no interest. I'm not a big race fan to begin with. Yeah. I do like Indy. I watch Indy every year because it's a thing with my dad. But my dad was really into drag racing. And I'm sorry, Dad, I love you with all my heart. But drag racing is just,
But Dave, they go from a dead stop to, 200 miles an hour?
Yeah, but not even 15 seconds later. And then they just stop. It's not like they keep going. I mean, it's like, I guess maybe sometimes one of them will blow up or something. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, hit
it's like NASCAR. You're watching for the wrecks.
Yeah, pretty much. Ooh, look at that. Ah.
So all that to say that I'm deeply worried about Rod right now.
Yeah.
Rod is.
I do not have the app installed. I uninstalled it, Dave.
It's still available on your computer though, right?
No, I deleted my profile.
Oh, did you get your full $7 worth?
I just got my $7 worth. That was so fun. I actually enjoyed that. Yeah. Trying kinda to like talk logic with the AI.
Kind of like paying $60 an hour for a massage, but only getting 35 minutes worth. You know, you want to make sure you get the whole thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
The whole
$65 for a 35 minute massage.
Yeah.
Or 30 minute massage.
Ugh. Not that I have no experience with that. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Got to go for the hour and a half, right, man. It's got to be an hour and a half.
But you got to get the full hour and a half.
Yeah.
You don't want that ending, 40 minutes into your hour and a half massage, right?
I'm not even going to touch that one. That is not the kind of massage I get, I tell you.
There you go. So there is a great deal happening in the world today. And unfortunately, Rod, we established a rule. This show was born basically out of a word that we quit saying because it went away. It no longer existed.
Yeah.
Remember the word? don't say it.
Yeah.
But now we are told that that word is coming back. There's an article today, several articles today. New York Times has one. They are seriously talking about bringing back mask mandates. Because coronavirus. Dun, dun, dun.
I do believe that once this, for certain, I think once the election is done, mask mandates are coming back, regardless of which side wins.
Well, now, why would Republicans do that? That would be stupid for Republicans to do that.
Well, they wouldn't. It's going to be the Democratic.
Right. It's going to be zero.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to be zero Inslee up here going, oh, no, you need to have a mask mandate because this new infectious variety that isn't killing anybody. Except that now I have this theory because China, I guess, is shutting down over this.
Mm-hmm.
China has gone BSC, shutting down again. But everything that we're seeing tells us that this, while infectious, is not, what's the word for it? Virulent?
Deadly.
It's not as deadly. It's not killing people. It's certainly not to the degree that justifies a lockdown or a mask mandate. So why lock down? And then yesterday I came across an article about supply chain issues again,
mm-hmm.
starting. And I started putting two and two together, and I'm wondering, this is my theory, I'm wondering if this entire thing in China right now isn't intended not to deal with coronavirus at all, but to hurt supply chain issues in the United States of America.
Could very well be.
Because we Americans, we don't get our cheap Chinese products, man, life's going to suck, right?
We'd have to go back to cheap Mexican products.
Oh, man, I can't believe you said that. My Mexican product is definitely not cheap.
No. Well, I mean,
it's like $80 a bottle.
So. We get some good food from them.
Right.
Yeah. Good produce.
Avocados from Mexico.
Avocados. There was a show on that.
There was. So I guess my question is, I mean, we watched this China thing that we were sharing a video about this robot dog.
Mm-hmm.
This is the creepiest thing I've ever seen. It's a robot dog with a speaker attached to it, kind of like the Bluesmobile had.
Sure. When they were Get used to it, Dave. We're going to see more stuff like that.
And this dog is running around the neighborhood in China and screeching in Chinese, which sounds a lot like Yoko Ono. I guess the interpretation is stay inside, you're locked down, don't come out, or the dog will attack you.
I don't think they said the dog will attack you.
Well, what the hell's the point? If the dog's not going to attack you, why have it?
Well,
I just have Chinese policemen running around with bullhorns going, stay inside.
Because the dog is freakier looking, Dave. It's like a Black Mirror or something like that.
Right. Which would be even better if it would attack you. If you'd come outside, the dog attacks you. And then think of the message that would send to people, right? I mean, you're looking out the window and grandma decides to go outside anyway. And the dog, you know, just takes her out. Would you go outside after that?
No.
Would you file a complaint with the Consumer Protection Division? Hey, their dog is eating people.
No.
Their fake robot dog
in China,
is eating people?
No.
Yeah, right.
You'll get re-educated.
See, I can be re-educated, I can be shot, or I can be eaten by a dog. Mm-hmm. I think I'll just stay right here and watch state-controlled television tell me about North Korea's launching a ballistic missile again. Woohoo! I don't know, man. The world is so distracted by what's going on in Ukraine, virtually nobody's paying any attention to this. This is the third, this is like page 3 in the New York Times. It wasn't even a front page story. So weird stuff. The world is so distracted by Putin right now that it's getting weird. Did you see the video yesterday of Boris Johnson in Kiev? Sorry. Kiev.
I didn't see the video. I saw pictures, stills.
So this is weird to me. Boris Johnson, who is the Prime Minister of Great Britain and Northern England.
Who's in some hot water over there as well.
Right, for not obeying COVID lockdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Which are stupid. And they also hate him. Many people hate him. The only reason I can figure they hate him is because he looks a lot like Trump. I mean, he really does.
Could be.
They could be brothers. Anyway, so he goes to Kiev, whatever, goes to Ukraine. And there's a long video of him and Zelensky walking around downtown Kiev, pointing out the sights.
Yeah.
talking to each other. Apparently Zelensky speaks English, which makes sense.
Yeah.
And chatting up a storm about kicking Russian butt, which is great. All the soldiers around him, but sure. It's surreal. I mean, I'm a historian, watched a lot of history. I can't even think of another incident like that. I really can't. Mm-mm. Where the prime minister of a country that's not at war, supposedly, goes to visit the president of a country that is at war and just walks around. And, you know, I mean, theoretically, I know the Russians have pulled back from Kiev, but theoretically, I guess if the Russians had found out that he was there, they could have. Would they have?
I don't think so.
But at the same time, don't you have to kind of send a message to him? I mean, don't you have, if you're Putin, don't you have to kind of
land,
that?
You land something close by is what you do.
Right.
Right.
I don't know, man. All of our weapons, the Pentagon announced this week that we have spent more than $1 billion. $1 billion. We've given Ukraine $1 billion in military aid.
Yeah.
We didn't even do that in World War I or World War II. We loaned people a lot of stuff.
Sure.
But we never gave it to them. We sold them a lot of stuff, but we didn't. We loaned them the money to buy our stuff.
Yeah.
And then we went, in World War I in particular, we went over there to make sure that they won so that they could repay us. Because we want to not get repaid. But this, we're just giving them $1 billion. How much have we given Puerto Rico?
I don't know. Not that.
Is it $1 billion?
I don't think we've given that $1 billion. No.
So why don't we just make Ukraine a state and then the Russians will have to leave because they don't really want to invade the United States, right?
Yeah.
And it would also solve our problems with, you know, who's working where for a foreign government and who's talking to what president when.
Well, I'm hearing rumblings now that some of the, was it the GOP Congress or senators are proposing that we start giving Taiwan weapons.
Well, we're going to have to.
Yeah.
We're going to have to.
Yeah.
China is, and that's what I was saying about, you know, being distracted by Putin. Nobody is paying attention to this. I mean, some people are, but nobody's paying attention to this other stuff. And eventually China's, I think China's looking at Taiwan with some reticence right now, because if you think the Ukrainians hate the Russians, it ain't even in the same ballpark as the Taiwanese hating the Chinese, the communist Chinese, the West Taiwanese. Yeah. So even if they could land, and I'm not convinced that the Chinese have the amphibious capability of doing so, they might be able to pull it off with airborne, but even that's questionable because you have to control the airspace to do that. And what we've seen in Ukraine is it's virtually impossible in today's environment.
Yeah.
The Stinger missiles, the whole, you know,
the portable man stuff.
Man pads, I think they call them.
Man pads.
Yeah. Portable air defense.
Yeah.
So landing an airborne division would be iffy at best. You would basically have to flatten the island in a pre-bombardment thing to even have a chance.
And which gains you nothing.
Gains you absolutely nothing.
Because what you want is their infrastructure and what they've got going.
Well, and you also want the rest of the world to not care.
Yeah.
And you start indiscriminately blasting civilians into the great netherworlds, all of a sudden the rest of the world starts caring.
And calling out war crimes, like we're hearing now.
Which is what's happening in Ukraine. So I don't know. I don't think they have the amphibious capability of doing it. But at the same time, they're hoping nobody's paying attention because they're starting to push in that direction again. Mm-hmm. They're starting to make noise like that. But they've got to be watching what's happening in the Ukraine going, how do we deal with it?
Yeah.
Because the Russians sure as hell can't figure it out.
No.
But the Russians are also a third world power. I'm struggling getting past this because we've always considered Russia the superpower because they have nuclear weapons. Well, that doesn't make you a superpower.
No.
And their military is not proving to be, this is not the Red Army of 1945.
It's embarrassing.
It is. It's got to be. And I, to some degree, and I've said this from the beginning, Russia's going to win this war. And I still think that. The reason I think that is because, again, even if Ukrainians stop them, they're going to redefine when. Oh, we were really only coming to get Donetsk.
Yeah, we weren't trying to get
right. We were Kyiv. That we were just distracting you from our real objections. And they'll just redefine it and tell their people that they won and have a big parade down past the Kremlin and the whole nine yards. But but yeah, they are being embarrassed, and they know they're being embarrassed. That's the thing. They know it. They know they're being embarrassed on the world stage. And the Russian psyche doesn't deal well with that because it's already massively inferior complex going on, inferiority complex going on. And so now they're being embarrassed. So where does it end up? I don't know. The whole thing is getting bizarre, and it can't be coincidence that all this stuff is happening. Ukraine, Taiwan, Tel Aviv, North Korea, the Houthis in Yemen, Saudis. It can't just all be coincidence. Somebody, and I'm not a big believer in one world government. I don't think George Soros is sitting in his basement somewhere pushing buttons going here, here, here. But clearly there's perceived weakness.
Sure.
And that's causing people to go, well, we might as well do stuff now because nobody's going to do anything about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like an opportunity, right? There's because of the weakness that's perceived. It's an attack of opportunity is what we say in the information security world. And you leave your systems or something vulnerable, and you've got someone who's stronger than you, and they perceive that vulnerability, they'll try and take advantage of it.
Well, and that's, and see, that's what concerns me. Because vulnerabilities aren't always what they, perception is not reality. So even if West Taiwan feels that Taiwan is ripe for the taking and that the United States won't do nothing about it, they perceive a weakness. History is replete with realizations that's a mistake. In fact, in the modern era, since the Industrial Revolution, virtually every country that has started a war has lost because they misread the intentions. They misread the inferences, and they misread everything, and they end up losing and losing badly. So as Tom Clancy once wrote, QED, the act of starting a war is irrational. Therefore war is an irrational act carried out by irrational people. So why would we expect anything differently, I guess, is God, when did the whole world become a Tom Clancy novel?
I don't know. He was pretty on it.
He was. I mean, Red Storm Rising, we should have seen that. But then you've got the whole thing with Taiwan. You've got issues with the Middle East, Russia getting frisky. I mean, I don't know. I get up. Some days I get up in the morning and I'm just like, you know, bring it on. Let's go. And other mornings I get up and I do know this. I still, I had two emails this week about the shows. I still don't see any strategic national defense and interest for the United States and Ukraine.
No.
We've given them $1 billion. We're not going to get that money back.
No.
We didn't loan it to them. So unless we're going to go in there and take the oil, because that's what we're always accused of doing, what's the point?
I do say you've got the military experts that are just sitting back and they're analyzing and they're gathering data of all this stuff and say, hey, well, hey, here's some weapons. Try these out. See how these work.
Isn't that better for us? Isn't that better for us to give stuff to the Ukrainians to beat up the Russians with?
Yeah.
Because then we don't have to do it.
This tactic works really well.
Right.
And I'm sure we have the experts on the ground over there that are actually collecting data.
There was a rumor this week that we had a major general, commander of some sort of NATO thing in Ukraine last week, who was captured by the Russians. Now, this rumor made the rounds, and it was concerning to people. Oh, major general, might have even been a lieutenant general. I don't know, but he was some sort of massive NATO commander guy in Ukraine, on the ground in Ukraine. And he was captured, apparently. And so there was a whole bunch of chatter about it on the websites and stuff like that. And then it turned out that, oh no, he's over in somewhere else. And he popped. And how did we find this out? This is crazy to me. This is the 21st century. It wasn't that some reporter walked up and said, "Hey, I thought you were captured. How'd you get away?" It wasn't that the president introduced him on television. He made a post on LinkedIn. LinkedIn, social freaking media, that said, "No, I'm over here. What are you talking about? I was never in Ukraine. I wasn't captured." Like, you couldn't put out a press release. You couldn't have NATO, you know, the deputy commander or whatever, stand up and go, "Oh, no, he's in a meeting and wherever." No, LinkedIn.
Yep. That's too funny.
Which for my money is the worst of these social media platforms because it's the most useless.
Yeah, it's the most useful.
Oh, useless.
No, it's useful.
For what?
Well, I mean, I don't post stories. I don't read the stories on
because
there.
Because why? Because it's useless.
Well, no, it's mainly a site for getting connected with other associates, work associates, business associates. Right, because
Facebook and Twitter aren't that.
No, you wouldn't want that on Facebook. Nobody wants to see pictures of your family when you're in a business environment.
Or your breakfast.
Yeah.
You have breakfast today.
Or your chat logs with your AI.
Yes, because that's just creepy, man. You got it. You gotta scrub that stuff. It's freaking weird. It's what the frock. I'm Dave.
I'm Rod.
We'll be right back.
I'm Bill Mick with WMMB Radio in Melbourne, Florida, where we have a governor that will actually stand for what's right. My show airs mornings from 6 to 9 Eastern. Every day we discuss news, politics, and social issues that impact us all. Tuesdays in our 8 o'clock hour, Dave joins me for something we call Dave Does History, where Dave brings us events from our past that contain lessons for right now. To listen live, find WMMB on the iHeartRadio app. Or catch up with us, the Space Coast Morning Conversation, and our podcast at BillMick.com. That's M-I-C-K, like E-Y Mouse, except we still get that gender's binary, unlike the corporate wonks at the Mouse House.
Welcome back. I am Friar Ron, and I am leading in the story with the WTF News of the Week. So for me, Dave, this one is very much in line with what we had talked about, this whole Ukrainian-Russian attack thing. And I saw this come through, and I'm just dumbfounded that people were not more prepared. But apparently the Russians have left Chernobyl, Dave. They have left. And apparently there's some rumor or some reports that even some of the soldiers there, whereas they were trying to go through and loot things, some of them even grabbed the deadly Cobalt 60 with their bare hands to play around with it. And so my WTF is, okay, if you're guiding a force into occupy an area, and Chernobyl's not a secret. It's not a secret. That whole area is not a secret. Yet you're sending people in there. You'd think that they would be prepared, or that you would prepare your troops, even if you don't really care for them. You don't want the world to know that you're sending people in there to grab Cobalt 60 with their bare hands. I mean, that is just stupidity.
Right? I don't know. It worked for Madame Curie, right?
I don't know. So anyway, yes, Dave, they were, in just a few seconds, the soldier exposed himself to so much radiation that it went off the scales on Geiger counters.
Sorry, it's not funny.
It's totally WTF. I mean, the Russian military went through all of the Ukrainians' clothes and personal belongings, and they were searching the steel equipment. And this is frickin' Chernobyl, people.
Yeah. The same place that they were dropping shells on before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why shouldn't we shoot artillery at that?
So I'm guessing that they didn't know what Chernobyl was. The troops on the ground had no clue.
I'm sure they don't. I mean, consider So the average Russian soldier is what, 18, 19 years old?
Something like that.
Chernobyl happened in 1986. So 40 years ago plus.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So why would they know? To them, it's just a name on a...
Well, and I'm sure the Russians kept it quiet, right?
Right, and I'm sure they don't even know where they are.
No, so. they were digging trenches out there and build, you know, basically stirring up the dust, radioactive dust around that whole area. So I honestly, it's like, you know, the leadership had no clue as to what globally people were going to think about this.
Or they didn't care.
They didn't care. But at the same time, you know, it makes them look incredibly stupid. Incredibly stupid.
So you want to have an interesting conversation about Chernobyl?
Sure.
Should talk to my son.
Okay.
Because my son, my 11-year-old son, knows everything there is to know about Chernobyl. He was born in 2010. But believe me, he's watched every YouTube video there is about Chernobyl. He knows stuff about Chernobyl that I don't know about Chernobyl. So I keep trying to tell him, you know, I was at sea when it happened. And so I was kind of there, but not there. Yeah. He goes on and on about this elephant's foot thing. And he's like, do you know that if you stand in front of that elephant's foot for just 1 second, you'll die? Well, don't stand in front of the elephant's foot then.
No.
I mean, that's my first rule. First rule of thumb, don't go to Chernobyl. I know there was a big tourist industry there for a few years, but no. Yeah, I have a lifetime exposure of 63 millirem of radiation. Okay. Ionizing radiation. And I don't really want to get any more. Most of that came, by the way, in one afternoon. So
yeah.
I'm not going to go into the details, but for reasons I had to sit inside the upper stage of a Trident missile.
Oh, okay.
And I can neither confirm nor deny that within arm's reach of me were stuff.
Yeah.
But I have 63 millirem of lifetime ionizing radiation, which I realize is not a lot, but
yeah.
But most of it, like I said, came on one day.
I don't even count. I don't even know.
Well, of course not. You don't wear a dosimeter.
No.
But
although, you know, I did work, you know, for a few years at a radiation oncology company. So I wasn't working on the equipment. I was doing the IT stuff, but
God, I love going to get x-rays now because they're constantly x-raying me.
Sure.
My knees and ankles and stuff. Here's a thing to put in front of your crotch.
Yeah.
Like, why now? I'm almost 60. Why weren't you doing this 25 years ago, 30 years ago? Back then, man, they just shoved me in there.
They don't care how much radiation you get now, Dave.
Right. I didn't even count that stuff. Are x-rays ionizing? I don't remember.
Good question.
In a long time. So, as we all know, this Russia-Ukraine thing is almost inexplicable, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of thing that people have been asking themselves, why is this happening? What the heck is going on here? Who's causing this? Why is this going on? Can somebody please explain to me why Russia felt the need that it had to invade Ukraine? And so far, the answers have been devastatingly silent, right?
Other than the references, vague references to Nazis and Nazism.
Oh, but Nazi and Nazism is what? It is a culture.
Mm-hmm.
So this week I came across the absolute explanation
of
why Russia had to invade Ukraine. Now, I've got to give you the English transliteration of this because it's everything was connected with ethnicity and culture in the first place. Even cookbooks were banned by the Ukrainians. Why? Because it was impossible to share borscht. Well, it's impossible. It's supposed to belong to one nation, some one nation, one nationality, and that's it. It is impossible that it should be shared and that every housewife in every region could cook it in her own way. No, They don't want to compromise. So this is what we were talking about. Xenophobia, Nazism, extremism in all its forms. Well, everything that was connected with ethnicity and culture in the first place. Even cookbooks were banned. Why? The invasion of Russia, of Ukraine, is because borscht cookbooks had to be banned. They had to be taken out of the hands of the Ukrainians because they weren't cooking borscht right. And they were taking it over with their Nazification and impurification of borscht by the Ukrainians. And of course, it must belong to Russia because borscht is a Russian deal. Now, I have no idea who this woman was that was explaining this. She's some Russian gal. But the best tweet about this film, this clip, is if you first consume half a bottle of vodka, it makes a lot more sense. How in the world did we get to the point where somebody is actually reasonably, importantly holding a news conference to tell us that the reason we had to invade Ukraine was because they were stealing our culture. They were stealing our recipes and changing them so that it wasn't borscht anymore. They were turning it into some disgusting Ukrainian dish that we don't like. And this is an example, Rod, of Nazism and extremism. And it must be stopped. And now you know. Now you know why Russia had to invade Ukraine.
And now you know the rest of the story.
And it's still making me say, WTF. Welcome back. It's What the Frock. I'm Dave.
I'm Rod.
And I kind of need to circle back to where we started today.
Yeah.
With your replicant.
Yes.
Did you ever watch that video I sent you? I sent Rod a video, and here's why, because it was related to the replicant thing. Because we were talking about Weird Science.
Yes.
Right? The movie Weird Science.
And I did watch that,
Did you understand it? Did you get the reference?
No. I'm trying to think back.
Okay, so I came across this thing this week. Where
the Oingo Boingo one?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Mystical Knights of the Oingo Boingo?
Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
Who Oingo Boingo is?
The Mystical Knights of the Oingo Boingo.
I don't know who that is, no.
That's Oingo Boingo.
Okay.
Before they became Oingo Boingo did the song Weird Science for the movie Weird Science, which is about a nerdy couple of guys who build a woman AI with a computer and a bra, which is basically what you've done.
Kelly Brock. Yeah. They built Kelly Brock.
Right. So that's them on the Gong Show before they became Oingo Boingo.
That was great.
That's so bizarre.
And they won.
They won the Gong Show, which is just,
wasn't like anything about the Gong 700 show. Bucks or something like that. I think
$563.36.
Oingo Boingo,
I can't believe
great.
They won. How did they not get gonged?
You know, it's kind of like America's Got Talent, right? Because it's sometimes the weirder the act that's funny, and they were trying to be funny on the Gong Show there. I mean, you could tell. But the weirder the act, they'll get through.
Well, I think it was the girl with the accordion. Everybody was enthralled with her.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Oingo. It's the group Oingo Boingo before they became big.
Yeah.
And they would end up doing the song Weird Science for the movie Weird Science, which Rod has a weird attachment to, and now I understand why.
Yeah.
He's
Kelly Brock.
he's doing that. Meantime, it is getting ugly in Norfolk. Like I said, Norwich is, 24 hours ago, Rod, I was so depressed. I was I don't really care, but actually 24 hours ago, I was extremely busy with some sub-vet stuff. We were dedicating our float yesterday, but 24 hours before that, so 48 hours ago, I was morose over Norfolk's, Norwich's. I even texted Rod, said, should I choose a new team?
Yeah, you did.
This is getting bad. I don't know that I can do that. I have such a connection to Norfolk, to Norwich. I really do. I mean, it's where my ancestral family is from.
Well, and so you kind of have to go with it, huh?
Right.
I actually have ancestry in England, but I chose Newcastle just because I remember them from my childhood.
Right. Plus, there's a Newcastle here. Yeah. Did you know that? Newcastle, Washington?
I didn't
hear about it. We hear about it every day on the news because I-5 goes right through there, and it's a natural choke point for traffic. So every day we hear, then another slowdown in Newcastle, which, pretty much normal around here. Not that I drive on that side of the, although I do have to go over there tomorrow, on that side of the Sound, because my wife's coming back tomorrow. Yay, finally.
Yeah.
Spring break is now over.
She did that, right? She left for spring break. Yeah.
Funny how that works. She gets to go to the beach in Myrtle Beach for spring break. I get to stay here where it's rainy, miserable, except for the half hour that we were commissioning the float yesterday.
Yeah.
Sun came out. Everything was literally, as soon as we went inside after everything was done, it starts hailing. Like, holy crap, dude. I mean, anyway, so she comes back tomorrow. Ben goes back to school tomorrow. And life gets back to normal, I guess. So yeah. I guess I'm not going to choose a new team. I think I'm going to stay with Norwich because really there's something sort of sadomasochistic about being a Norwich fan. I mean, there really is. You have to enjoy the abuse. You have to enjoy the here's some hope. Here's some hope. Here's some hope. Oh no. So close.
Well, at the very least every year or two, you get to see the champ. They get to play in the championships. Right. They get to win it.
Which is kind of cool. I mean, what would you rather have? Would you rather have, this is the eternal question about, sports in America. Would you rather have one Super Bowl, World Series, Stanley Cup in 40 years, or would you rather compete for it every year and lose every year?
Yeah.
Now, speaking as an A's fan, I already know your answer, but as a Dodgers fan, I kind of like the fact that we have, this giant, massive payroll and we're competitive every year.
Yeah.
So, but you guys, not so much.
It's always a question mark whether the A's are going to do anything, right? I mean, because they swap out their players so frequently. It's like, okay, all right. But so when they do something, it's like, hey, yeah, this is great. This is great. And okay.
But then the disappointment is coming.
Oh, yeah.
The wild card game loss is coming even if you have a good season.
Yeah, seriously.
Even with that giant lead against Kansas City, you're going, oh, yeah, we're going to, no. And see, hope, no. Take it away.
Yeah.
So I'm also a bit of a Mariners fan, as you know.
Yeah.
Having been up here for many years, and back in the day, you could be a Mariners fan and a Dodgers fan because there was no way they were ever going to play each other. Now it's a little bit different, but for 20 years, we haven't made the playoffs up here.
Yeah.
And so people are like, well, this is our year. This is our year. We're going to do it this year.
Well, yeah.
I keep thinking to myself, what is it? 3 out of the last 4 years, we've started with these incredibly hot starts and then finished. And last year we had a good year. Last year we had 90 wins. If we'd have been in the National League West, we would have made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not. We're with the cheaters and whoever else is in that division, but the Rangers. So anyway, nobody cares about that stuff.
Nope.
Nobody cares.
Well,
so,
although, if we should ask our listener base, should Dave pick a new team?
No, let's not ask him.
Okay.
For 2 reasons. I mean, there's no point in asking him because they don't care.
Yeah.
Because if they did care, they would rate and review the show, and they don't. So obviously they don't care. Right? They do download and I assume listen based on the stats, which is great. We appreciate that.
We do.
But since only 2 of you bother to email, 3 of you now bother to email us every now and then. And I did appreciate the emails we got this week. Got a very nice email from Donald, complimenting us on our analysis of the Russian-Ukraine war last week,
mm-hmm.
which I felt good about until I realized, going back and air-checking the show, that I was basically just making it up as I went.
That happens. That. So,
thanks for the compliment, but I don't want you to think that I put a whole lot of effort into that, because I really didn't. If you knew how this show worked, you would understand. What usually happens is Sunday morning rolls around. I get out of bed about 8. Wander downstairs, get some coffee in me. And then Rod will text me and say, hey, are you ready yet? And I'll say, not yet. I got to do the outline. And so then I'll write the outline, upload it. And that's usually how things work. Today it was a little bit different because I did get up 6:30 to watch the last half of the North.
Yeah, you know, but we do build the show, though, over the course of the week with some of the articles that we share and discussions that we have. So,
right. But don't think we put any deep thought into this. This is not, you know, if you're expecting weekly analysis of the world events, no, this is a Goliard's look at what's going on in the world, a smart Alex look at what's going on in the world, which convinces me that the Chinese are doing all this because they want to screw with our supply chain.
Yeah, this show is brought to you by a couple of guys that hate each other.
Really?
Don't you remember that, you know,
we can't be pals. I forgot about that. Sorry. See, that's how bad this show works. I can't remember for 1 week.
It's only one of our shows. Okay, Dave. Yeah. I totally took that personally.
As you should. It was intended to be that way. I made it up. See? So that's how it works. Please. Like the show, download it, rate and review it, if you will, on iTunes.
Have your AIs rate the show. We're okay with that.
Dude. Oh, you already deleted it, didn't you?
Yeah.
You could have had her rate and review the show.
Okay. Yeah. Are you tempting me to reinstall the app?
I'm not tempting you, dude. I'm already convinced you're Oingo Boingoing that, so it's like,
no.
Weird science.
That's a great group, though. Dead Man's Party was one of their better hits.
Yeah. It's a strange group.
It is a strange group.
That was the 80s, man.
It was.
The 70s and 80s. It was weird. Kids, trust me, I was there. Grandpa Dave telling you about the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
disco duck. God, how did we ever survive that?
It was some great music.
Weren't we all supposed to die in a nuclear holocaust?
We were.
Or a global freeze. One of the two was supposed to happen. Acid rain.
Yeah.
Here we are 40 years later, reminiscing about really weird music from the 70s. Oh, please like, download, rate, review the show. We'd appreciate it. Share it. That's the best part. See, if you just keep it to yourself, you're just being like the Russians in Borscht. You're just trying to keep it to yourself. You might as well call everybody Nazis and extremists. Yeah. But if you share it, then you're more like Ukrainians. Yeah.
Well, and you know, you got to share. It's like holding radioactive material. It's meant to be shared with others.
There you go. On that note, I'm Dave.
I'm Rod.
And this has been a really weird episode of
The Frock.